I want to talk to you for in the next few hours this morning. I didn't get to preach last week. No, I'm just not going to keep you that long. It'll probably be somewhat of a shorter message. Always love that. People get all excited. They start paying attention because they keep waiting. Adrian, they keep waiting for me to say, in closing. They miss the rest of the message, but boy, they're attentive on that one phrase, now in closing. I do want to talk to us about some current events. I didn't title my message this morning, but I just put current events. Now, it's been said that if it's in the media, we need to talk about it in the church. Because if it's in the media, it's usually trending. It's usually what's going on around. Now, we can like it or not. I'm not saying it's good stuff. I'm just saying that's generally what's happening. And so, Hunter, did we get this back here going, Hunter, in the back? Okay, so if you need to leave, again, this is family day. If you feel like you need to leave, back behind this wall, go through the hallway. There's a large screen television, and you can see what's happening in, and you can also hear. So there's some audio if you want to go back there. Maybe you want to go back there so you don't hear me. I mean, whatever it is you want to go back there. Maybe I see people trying to leave that don't have kids. So I want to talk to us about some current events that's happening. I won't say it's more of an opinion-based message today. I'm going to throw things out there, and it's really for you to ingest and go home and digest, but these are real things that's going to happen, okay? And there's not an opinion whether they're going to happen. They're going to happen, and you just have to figure out where you're going to be in this mix, okay? But I have some hope at the end of this message. So I want to start with Revelation chapter 13, verse 16 through 18. Revelation 13, 16 through 18. Now it's talking about two beasts, end times. It is talking about that these two beasts are going to rise up, and it's talking about the second beast, and that's another message. But I want to share what it says. It says, and he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark in their right hand and on their foreheads. This is the beast, one of the beast. It says in verse 17, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark and the name of the beast or the number of his name. Verse 18, here's wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. Now, I was raised, my mom was into a lot of prophecy and things, end time stuff, when I was a teenager. So 45 years ago, a long time ago. And my mom had me scared to death. I mean, I was raised in a house where, if you got spooked in the night, you went in and cracked your door to make sure mom and dad were still in the bed because you thought you missed a rapture if they wasn't, you know. God forbid both of them be up at the same time, one in the bathroom, one in the kitchen, and freak you out, you know, because you think, oh, Lord, the rapture doesn't happen, and I'm left. Some of y'all didn't. Y'all might not have been raised like that, but I was like, the fear of the Lord. I don't know about that, but I didn't want to go to hell. I knew that. And so we were taught about 666. We were taught about not being able to buy and sell. And in my mind, I remember as a teenager, I had this plan that I was going to be able to, I was going to be okay. If I was left behind, I was going to make it. I mean, I was saving some cash. And I used to hunt. I knew how to hunt. I was going to go to the woods, and I was going to have my army knife, you know, because you can do anything with an army knife. Come on, somebody. Come on, I was 15. Some of you still have an army knife, and you're 70. I mean, come on. So I had this plan how I was going to continue to eat, and I was going to be okay. I don't know how long that was going to last. I don't know what was going to happen next, but anyway, I was going to be all right. And as I got older, I began to think, well, that's not possible. Because I can't trace cash, so I always have cash. So I always be able to buy and sell. How are they going to know where I'm at? I mean, think about it, 30, 40 years ago, my mama knew where I was at. Your mama was the first GPS tracking device. I could come home from a place that I wasn't supposed to be with the people I wasn't supposed to be with. And I promise you, my mama knew where I was and with who I was with before I got home. How does that work? My mama could call people's names. You was with so-and-so, wasn't you? We didn't have cell phones, wasn't Facebook. She wasn't following nothing on social media, come on. That Holy Spirit medium. Come on, and I'm not talking about media, okay? And she would call and say, I told you not to hang out with that people. They're bad influence on you. And as long as you live in this house, some of y'all heard it. As long as you live in this house, you ain't going to do that. It only took me a couple of times to figure that out. Because if she couldn't get it across to me, my father, he had a way of helping you understand how it was going to be. Now, you didn't have to do that. But my dad was very stern. He was quiet. My dad said, oh, you don't have to do that, son. But you don't have to live here either. Come on, somebody. My dad was serious. And so it worked for me. I'm not telling you that worked for you, but I'm telling you it might work for you, you and your kids. So how is this buying and selling going to stop with this cash? And we always got cash. I can go to Arvell's produce stand and say, I need some oranges and some apples. And say, I'm always going to have some because they can't trace cash. Can't keep me from buying some if I've got cash. And so I can't, well, that's going to work. Well, and then we got older, we got to seeing digital stuff. Digital money. Bitcoin and all those type things that they, and it's crazy. How will they track where you are? Well, I always thought whether you get the chip, they know where you're at. But I plan on being gone from here, so it ain't gonna matter if they know where I'm at. I mean, if I ain't here, y'all know where I'm at. Paul said to be absent with the body, be present with the Lord. So that's where I'm at. If something happens, you know, I'm gone. You know, you don't have to open up an investigation or nothing. I did tell Dale the other day, though, we was talking about electrical stuff around grain bins. I said, if I get electrocuted, you open up an investigation. I've been murdered. Because I don't play with electricity. Come on, somebody. Found him dead at the breaker box with a screwdriver in his head. They did not. They planted that on me. Okay? You might find Dale there, but not me. I'm not going to be there. It ain't going to happen. So how will they track us? If you don't take the mark of the beast, of a chip or a number, whatever it is, you can go home and fight that out among yourselves. I won't go there where it's going to be and how it's going to work. I'm just telling you, they're going to have a tracking. Personally, I'm going to show you what I believe about tracking and how tracking is going to work in the last days. Are you ready?
Yes.
Now, how many of you have ever heard about social credit scoring, social scoring? You ever heard that phrase? Social score. You know, how many of you know that there's a credit score? And everybody has a credit score that's attached to your Social Security number.
That's right.
You know that? Some of you need to know that, okay? Amen. We're having a financial class next week. There's a credit score that'll top out at about 830. That's excellent credit. Below 300, you don't exist really, okay? And so, not beating you up over it, I'm just saying that's just the number, okay? You just don't exist in the credit world. And so you have a credit score. And what does that credit score do? It allows you to buy things. And this credit score, based on how it is, gets you better interest rates, different things. You can borrow money cheaper, insurance is cheaper, and all that, okay? So that's a credit score, but I'm not really want to talk about it. But a social score works the same kind of way. Let me read you something. Now, look, you can find anything you want to on social scoring. Now, it's not in America, listen to me, yet. Watch this, social credit scoring. Now, you can find all this stuff on Wikipedia, go to the internet. This is not, I don't have the rights to all this and you can't see it. You go look it up. Just watch. This is an article from Kaspersky.com. It's a website that you can go to, just like me. It says, imagine every action you take, every interaction you have, every moment you make, every movement you make, all reduced to a single rating on a 5-point scale. Now, this is real. I'm going to show you this already happening in the world in over 100 countries. Right now, currently as we speak, this social scoring system is happening in over 100 countries, not quite half of the world yet. And it's a 5-point scale, all right? It says, a higher rating opened up the door. Now, listen to some of the terminology. A higher rating opens up the door to fabulous opportunities and special benefits, while a lower rating can essentially keep you shut off from the rest of society. That is, in essence, to be simplified, what a social rating or social score system is. It is simply if you go along with the ideology of who makes up the rules for the score, you get a good rating. If you buck the system, you get a poor rating. Poor rating, and I'm going to show you in a minute how that's linked to you being able to buy and sell. Revelation. I'm telling you some things that's happening today, right now, in America, that they're working on that will be able to keep each one of us in this room from buying and selling by a click of a button, or by what you may or may not agree with or disagree with on social media. Some of you stuff, come, I'm gonna preach. Some of you need to get off social media with all your junk. We don't care. We don't care what you had for lunch 3 weeks ago. We don't care about all your problems that you had with your spouse or your ex-spouse or your children. We don't care. That's a private matter that needs to be held privately in the privacy of your home, and you deal with it the way God tells you to deal with it according to His Word. Amen. You don't need Facebook pastors. You don't listen to the one you got now. And you sure ain't going to listen to 150 or 3,000 friends or whatever you got that want to weigh in on your stuff. This is what I did. You know Facebook, and I'm beating Facebook on social media and Snapchat and Snipchat and what all that is. I didn't say that word. Y'all said it. Snipchat. Chat. Don't say it fast. What's some of the Twitter? What's some other? Instagram, TikTok, all those stuff. The reason you want to be on there is because you want people to like you. And when they don't like your stuff, then you get upset and you feel bad because nobody likes me. Come on, people. Good Lord. It's somebody halfway across the world that don't care about you anyway. They want to see you do dumb stuff. They want to see you deteriorate and me increase. Because all of the social media stuff, let me tell you what that's about. It's somebody's highlight reel, and you try to mimic that in everyday life, and it don't happen. Now I'm going to preach. All the stuff you're putting on social media, do you understand it's never going away? Do you understand it is there? It is attached to you in some shape, form, or fashion? All of your social media stuff will always be there. I can find out anything I want to about anybody. And you can go on there and find anything out about me you want to. As much as I have put stuff on there. You can find all my posts from years ago. I have memories pop on my memories 6 years ago. I said, well, that's pretty good stuff. Y'all have memories come up on your Facebook? Sure you do. This stuff is always out there. It's never going away. Be careful what you put out there. Be careful, it's always out there. The premise behind a nationwide social rating system itself is relatively simple. Every citizen receives a certain score to start. So let's say 1 to 5, let's just say everybody starts with a 3. I don't know what it is, I don't know what it'll be, I'm just saying you'll start with a score. And this score, it says, and certain actions either lower or increase your score. For example, donating to charity would increase your score, while buying cigarettes, however, would lower it. People can either be rewarded or punished based on their rating. Now, here's the kicker. The government, for example, could restrict a person's travel, prevent them from entering the best universities, or even take their dog away if their score drops low enough. Now, I'm just hitting some highlights. You said, well, the government wouldn't do that. Oh, yeah? The government would very much do that. Do you understand that COVID-19 was an experiment to see how far they could get away with stuff? How much you would fall into that? Now, listen to me. I am not saying the disease or the sickness COVID was not real. I'm not even talking about that side of it. I'm talking about the idea of shutdowns. We now know 2-3 years later that it wasn't as horrific and it wasn't spreading like they said it was. But boy, were we not sheep going to the slaughter? Do we not all jump on the back thinking we're doing the right thing? And amen, nothing wrong with that. We need to pay more attention. The reason the next one will be so hard is because they gave us a dumb run. And we realize not everything that comes out of Washington is truthful. And because you have Dr. So-and-so, you've been appointed by somebody at a high level, you're not always right. Social scoring is very important. Watch this now. The number one social scoring, now this is spiritual. I'm going to show you it's spiritual. Because you're going to have to deal with some of this. Oh, preacher, we're going to be out here in the rapture. We're already experiencing things before the rapture. The number one country or nation in the world that has the prototype of social scoring is the Chinese. Now, I'm not going to be political, but if you take it that way, I'm okay with that, okay? One of the worst things for America to happen was Joe Biden got elected in the office. Watch this. One of the best things for the Christians was Joe Biden got elected. Because he set us more on the path for the return of Jesus Christ and for things to happen in the Bible. Come on. So, why do you think he spent so much time with China? It's not because he can speak Chinese. It's not because he can communicate very well. They have nothing in common except for one thing. I need to know how you're doing what you're doing to keep your people in control. I'm not a conspiracy theorist by any stretch of the imagination. I don't trust the government. You know, it's kind of like trust and verify. You know. The Chinese, watch this, the Chinese Communist Party has been constructing a moral ranking system for years that will monitor the behavior of its enormous population and rank them all based on their social credit. The social credit system first announced in 2014. I don't think you understand. That's been 10 years ago. When you start throwing these, not 2014, that's just the last couple years ago. No, that's been 10 years ago. Working on 10 in a few months, but 10 years ago. That it's been publicly known, been around much longer. It is an important component, part of the socialist market economy system and the social governance system, and aims to reinforce the idea that keeping trust is glorious and breaking trust is disgraceful. And that's according to a 2015 government document from China. That if you get outside of the idea of what we have, you're disgraceful. So we bump your social score down. We're watching you. We'll have our eye on you. Because we don't want an uprising. How many of you know it's easier to control one than it is 101? It's easier to control 101 than it is 1,000,001. Come on, you get the picture. The government knows this. Now, I'm not suggesting in any shape, form, or way, fashion to take over the government by any means. I enjoy some of the benefits of the government, such as paved roads and red lights and those, you know, taxes, pay those things. Amen. I like the interstate systems, and I like that. That's great stuff. But if everybody in America at one time decided, well, we don't want that, and walked to Washington, they have no choice. They shut down. I'm not suggesting you do that. I'm just telling you, there's the power in people, power in numbers. So the social credit system takes you out one at a time. Now, so let's just say that that you like guns. You're a patriot. You're pro-America. You're pro-gun, pro-speech. You're pro-life. You're everything like that. And you start spending money in those areas, how do they stop you? Well, they can't right now because we have cash. Lord, I wish that was 100. Lord, turn that into 100 in Jesus' name. We have cash. You can't trace cash. You can go spend cash anywhere. Why are they pushing to have a cashless society? More control. And it's not that they control what you buy. It's they can control who you bought from and what it was. And then they attach that, and they attach that to a social credit score. And they say they're a person of interest to watch. They bought 2 guns this month. We'll just be sure the next time you go down to the gun store, your card won't work. It's the ability to cut off buying and selling. There is no other way that that would work. How many of you ever had a credit card, bank card, and you go to Walmart, and you know you got money in the bank. You know you got $7 in that bank. And you know that what you got on the counter is $3.74. And you go up there like a proud American, you swipe your card, and it says those dreadful words that every one of us look. And all of a sudden, we go into lying mode. I don't know, I got $100 in that bank. You had 7 when you walked in here. You knew that. Let me try this card. There's something wrong. My card been acting up. Your card ain't been acting up. Your card don't act up unless you ain't got no money in it. Then it still ain't acting up. It's just you ain't being able to buy something. You've been declined. Why? Because you had no money. How many of you purchased something or went to buy something and forgot that you had your card cut off? You know you can cut your card off and on now. Your own card, you lose it. How does that work, Melinda? You can just cut it off, and can't you do that on your own now? You can just, some banks, just cut that off, and you find it, cut it back on. How? With a few strokes of a key. When you get into cashless society, everything goes digital. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Digital currency. How many of you, about 3 or 4 years ago, I talked about, I had a message on the Great Reset. Of 2030. The Great Reset of 2030. The Great Reset is simply a restructuring of the world government, the world, the way the world works. How many of you ever heard of WHO, World Health Organization? Mm-hmm. Amen. Global governing. This is a new term that you're going to see a lot more if you've been here and if you've been paying attention. CBDC. First time I heard it, I thought it was some of that marijuana oil. Glory to God. They got CBD oil and CBDC and all that. The CBDC is the central bank digital currency. Y'all been talking much about that yet? Not yet. It's coming. Central bank digital currency. President Biden, a couple of years ago, has put out a task force on how that we can go all digital. Do you know that currently we could go digital overnight in America? Now it would be kind of shaky, but we could do it. We could do it, and we can make it happen. Why would we want to go digital? Well, they're already grooming you right now. Do you know you're being groomed right now as I speak in this room? And you've been groomed for the last year or two on digital currency or the prototype of it. How many of you have Venmo, PayPal, Apple Pay, those type things? Some of y'all need to raise your hands because I know some of you. My family back in the back, you ran up, put both feet up now. My son be paying his mama back on Venmo. I'm saying, whoa, 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 I gave him the money. Where's my part? I don't even know how to do Venmo or PayPal, okay? What's wrong with a check or cash? If I gave you cash, I'd like to have cash back. Come on. Come on, somebody. You participate, and it's going to work very similar. Right now, PayPal, Venmo, is tied and attached to somewhat like a credit card. You got to have the money in the bank in order for that to draw, in order for you to pay. And you got to have an account set up in order for you to receive. Do you get it? Digital money works similar to that in the sense, though, it's not tied to a commercial bank or a private bank. It's tied and it's backed by the government. Well, how many of you know right there that's not a good idea? The government cannot balance its budget. We're $33 trillion in debt. And I don't care if it's a Democrat or Republican that's in there. It's rolling fast. They all like to spend money they don't have. And so the government is no good at managing anything, period. Okay? And so, and I'm not anti-government. I'm just telling you, they got their place and they're way out of bounds. And so with this digital currency, see, it's central bank, a central digital banking currency, okay? And so what's gonna happen is you will have a certain amount of funds, but when they don't want you to use it, you'll see declined. It is the only way that they will be able to keep you from buying and selling. There is no other way if you think about it. They've got to get rid of cash. It's going to happen. Now, Pastor, what are you saying? Should we be a prepper? I don't care what you do. I'm not a prepper. I've got enough to. I'm not going to go hungry for a month or so, though. I don't have stacks and stacks and stacks of ammo. We have ammo. Don't break in. We got enough to shoot you and kill you. We have plenty. Okay? Even if I'm a bad shot, I got plenty. You will die. Okay? My point is, do you need to be wise? Absolutely. Do I think that you should store up dried beans and rice and canned goods and things? I think you better have some of them. No, but Pastor, I thought we were going to be out of here. We are when it gets really bad. How many of you searched for toilet paper 3 years ago? Come on, somebody. It's just toilet paper. You ain't even hungry yet. I mean, I had all kind of people's ideas on how are we going to get through this toilet paper crisis. You want to hear some of them? Start saving your old socks that don't match. Okay, great idea, right? What do you do with a mix-match sock? You throw it away. No, let's repurpose that. We're going to the bathroom with that old sock. Come on, somebody. Old towels and sheets. Newspaper. Boy, they don't sell newspapers anymore. What do you got? An iPad. People have these ideas. I'm thinking, it ain't that bad, people. Do you have a water hose? Rich people do it that way. They have bidets. We old country folks think we outsmarting. No, they've been outsmarting us long. They use water. This is crazy stuff, isn't it? And I'm talking about toilet paper. But when your baby, your grandbaby, starts complaining about being hungry. You say, Pastor, you think that's going to happen before the rapture? I have no idea. I used to think absolutely not. But as things are progressing, I think there could be some hard times for church stuff. I'm not here to scare you to death. I'm not scared a bit. I promise you. But we need to be prepared. We need to be ready. We need to have some things on hand because we could get a little tighter on this thing than what we think. I truly believe that. I believe we could go through some hard times, especially when we get into this idea of money. Now, let me talk to you just for a minute more here, a few minutes more, on the Great Reset of 2030. Does anybody know what year it is right now? 2023. Okay, can somebody take 30 minus 23? That's seven. Okay, we only have 3 months left. So you got about 6 years. This going to happen. Oh, it's going to happen. I guarantee you. It's going to happen. Might not be 2030, but it's, boy, sure is coming fast. The Great Reset Initiative is this. It's an economic recovery plan drawn up by World Economic Forum, or the WEF, in response to COVID-19 pandemic. Now, if you'll pay attention when you read articles, and I did on this one, at the very top of this, you could buy a book. Now, they said it was in response to COVID-19. When did COVID-19 happen? 2020. At the very top of this article, they were trying to sell you a book. A book on the Great Reset. 2010. You get it? Okay, so they're trying to sell you a book that came out in 2010, but they're telling you it's because of a COVID-19 pandemic that this all came about. They've been working on it for a while. You say, Pastor, this is not very spiritual to me today. Well, if we go through some hard times, it's going to be real spiritual to you. This message is going to be replaying. But I've got hope. Don't get down and out. I got some verses at the end that's going to help you. Says the project was launched in June 2020 with a video featuring the Prince of Wales, Charles. He released to mark its launch. This video was released to mark the launch of this World Economic Forum. The initiative's stated aim is to facilitate rebuilding, watch this, from the global COVID-19 crisis in a way that prioritizes, watch, a sustainable development. It's a global idea. It is not for one country. It's a global idea. Do you know that when, and again, I'm not being political, President Trump took us out of the WHO, the World Health Organization. How many of you know that? You know, he took us out of that. Praise God. The current president put us back in it. Do you know if there's it's sitting at the Senate now. So it's went through the House a couple of years ago. It's sitting in the Senate. Do you know that it's just one vote away from us taking all of our rights and handing them over in America to the WHO in another pandemic, in a crisis? Do you understand that? I don't think you understood it. We take all of our freedoms and rights because we're in the WHO, the world, and we handle and say, whatever you deem as necessary in the global world, that's what happens in America. You need to do a little research on some things, because I'm looking at some of you and you're thinking, I ain't never heard none of this stuff. You need to pay attention to the news. It's happening. That's what they're banking on. They're banking on good people doing nothing. They're banking on the church being silent, sitting down, sitting on our hands, and not standing up. They're banking on that happening, and it is happening. The World Economic Forum Chief Executive Office, Klaus Schwab, described three core components of the Great Reset: creating conditions for stakeholder economy, building in a more resilient, equitable, and sustainable way, and utilizing environmental, social, and governance. What's he going to build into it? Social credit scoring. Governing. And how are we going to do this money? How many of you ever heard the term climate change, climate control? How many of you heard that? Anybody ever heard climate change? We've heard that for... We're not even supposed to be here right now. I mean, the world's supposed to be burned up by now. That's a lie. Now, is it getting hotter? Yeah, in the summer. It's as hot as it was last summer. I'm not trying to offend you if you're into climate change. I'm not trying to. There may be some climate change. Remember the idea that the glaciers are all going to melt, flow into the sea, sea was going to rise and consume some of the edge of our coastline. Do you know why I knew that was a lie? Come on. Because God, when he created, he took and he said this, I will create and I will make a line in the sand and say, water, you can only come thus far. And until God steps off of his throne, it's not going to happen. I don't care if every glacier and every country flows into the ocean. That ocean will not rise one bit until God says, you can come up now. Because God said it. That nullifies all of this global warming in these glaciers to me, melting and running into the ocean. Okay, we're done. Next. God said things were happening. So I said earlier, worst thing happened to the America was that Joe Biden got elected. The best thing happened in the church world that Joe Biden got elected. We're that much closer to going to heaven. I want to go there. It's what I've been living for. I want to go there. Amen. I'm just teaching you some things and showing you some things you need to be aware of this morning. You need to save some money. You need to try to get out of debt best you can. Okay? You need to prepare some things. I'm not telling you you got to go out and dig a hole 27 feet in the ground and bunker that thing down and put, you know, 3/4 inch metal all around. I'm not telling you that. Let me know if you do. I might want to come with you, though. I mean, just in case, okay? But I'm saying I'm not telling you to do that. I'm telling you to be wise about this stuff. And then lastly, this U.S. central bank digital currency. I want to challenge you to go and look into this on your own. You form your own opinion. I never preach anything that even kind of leans on being opinionated. It's more of what the Bible says, and I tell you something, I back it up with Scripture. This is probably the first and the most opinionated, if there is an opinionated piece to this. I'm not trying to give you my opinion. I'm trying to give you information, and you go form your opinion, okay? So don't take my word for it. You go do it. You can research like me. So what is happening... What's going to happen is the government will take control. When the government takes control, now I believe when the government takes full control, we're out of here. I don't know about you, but I'm pre-trib. Glory to God. I don't want to be mid. I want to be pre-trib. I'm gone, baby. Why? I just want to be gone. You want to suffer for Christ? Yeah? I think. Oh, you just didn't say that. It's real easy right now to say, I'll suffer for Christ when there's no suffering going on. But it's another thing altogether to say, I'll suffer for Christ when you have to. But be of good cheer. I said, be of good cheer. I've got one verse. There's many, but I got one. I've got one verse. It's going to lift your spirits. Are you ready? You really want it? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19. Paul says it this way, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. Look, this is not it. This is not the end. What you're working for, your dead-end job. All the money you're saving, which we should do those, we should go to work. All the stuff that you possess now won't mean a thing in the end. It'll mean nothing. If this is it, if all the stuff I've told you, oh, that's what we got to look for. No, that's not what you have to look forward to. You have to look forward to an eternity in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ, who saved you and redeemed you, who set you free, who made a way of escape, even from this stuff. There is hope in Christ. Apart from Christ, you'll be depressed. You'll get down and out. You'll be digging holes in the ground, storing up 22 years of food and stuff. If you are, I'm not beating you up. I'm just saying my hope's not there. If I die today, if I have to die for Christ today, I'm in heaven. That's what I've lived for. It's what we put in the hours for, so we can come and serve God. And when we leave here, we're with God. There's hope in that. Don't get your hope in the world and focus on the world, but you must be wise to the things of the world. You know the old saying, we're just pilgrims passing through this way. This is not my home. I just occupy for a little bit. I may own a home in Greenville, Mississippi, but that's not my home. I'm really just renting it from the bank. Got a long-term lease on it. Come on, somebody. If that all burns today, if it all leaves today, my hope is in Christ. He is the author and the finisher of my faith, not what I've read to you today, not the United States government, not a global government, not a WHO, not the Chinese government, no social credit score, but my hope is in Christ Jesus, and in Him alone is my hope. And that's where my hope will stay. Because if you get your hope and fixed on these things, on life, man, you're going downhill fast. You'll be pouting and belly aching and moaning and complaining and on every kind of depression that there is, because your hope is in this stuff. You're wanting this to get better. Friend, I'm here to tell you, this may not get any better. This may be the best it's going to get. Are you okay with following Jesus? If this is the climax of good that's going to happen today, and if it goes downhill starting tomorrow, are you still going to serve God? Are you still going to put your trust in Him? Are you still going to be faithful to Him? That's the real question. It's not whether this stuff will happen, because it's going to happen in some shape, form, or fashion, because the Bible says so. But where is your hope? Where does your hope lie? Is it in your bank account? Is it in your health insurance program? Is it in your job? Is it in your 401k? Where is your hope? I'm going to give you an indicator. If your hope's in Christ, you will be a worshiper, because you will worship the one where you place your hope. If your hope's in Christ and in Him alone, amen. Will you stand with me across the building? We're going to get out early. I told you it's going to be a shorter message. Some of your hope just rose. It just, that level of hope in your life said, zoom. You know, God's okay with that. God's okay with being funny. I mean, look at this. Amen. And this. On this. Amen.